702. Radio that listens to you.
And I'm joined by William Pinar, who is the Agribusiness Development Specialist at Workforce Staffing, as well as Jean D. Leon. I hope I pronounced that correct. And she is the Commercial Manager at Workforce Staffing. William and Jean D., good morning.
Hi, good morning, Oliver.
William, I'm going to start with you. How big is the staffing solutions problem for farmers, especially during harvest season?
Oliver, yeah, I think it's quite a huge task within the agricultural sector, specifically for farmers, due to the time constraint that we do have during the harvest season. So everything is quite easy, but once there is a time constraint, everything does actually become very much more complex.
And of course, there's a lot of questions in play about food security, and if there's a drought, farmers won't be able to always afford the rates that are being negotiated should there be an attempt at negotiations. How well do farmers fare with that, or do they need external help of staffing solutions from a company such as Workforce Staffing?
Oliver, I think at the base of that question is because of its staffing solution, we do tend to save money for the farmer, and we do tend to save time for the farmer. And that obviously creates a bit more opportunity for the farmer to actually keep with those specific requirements in regards to those payment issues.
Yeah, I want to bring you in here, Jean de Leoni. Labor relations is pretty clear about minimum wage negotiations. For instance, it's 20 rand per hour at the moment. If the 5% increase takes place, it will be up to 21 rand per hour. And of course, it also says that you can't employ someone for more than 3 months as a temporary worker. How do farmers grapple with those legal limitations?
Well, obviously, as a staffing solutions provider, we do provide that flexibility that farmers need in accordance with their seasonal requirements. With regards to the national minimum wage, the agriculture sector is currently exempt from the national minimum wage to the extent that the wages are 18 rand an hour as opposed to 20 rand an hour for other sectors. And the reason for that is that, there's obviously a lot of considerations in determining what the national minimum wage must be. And this specific industry has been identified as a vulnerable industry where previous market reactions have shown that a sudden change in the national minimum wage led to a lot of job losses. So the agricultural industry is dealing with a phased approach or a gradual approach to get to the national minimum wage.
Right.
And there's a period of 2 years since the inception of the act to get farm workers up to the 20 rand an hour wage.
And are there concerns about nepotism in this particular space, given that a lot of the people who are employed seasonally during harvest season are extended relatives of people who are currently employed on those farms? And is this a big concern for the Department of Labor, for instance?
I don't think it's necessarily a concern. The main purpose of this exercise is obviously poverty alleviation, wage and dealing with wage inequalities and creating jobs. So I think irrespective of possible family relations, the job creation aspect is at the forefront when making such decisions.
William, I want to ask you, with regards to the reliability of some of the workers on these farms, especially when they are seasonal workers, are farmers dealing very well with this? And have you perhaps at Workforce Staffing struggled with this, given that, it's a competition for where can I get the best rate if I'm a farm worker, for instance? And if I'm a seasonal worker not bound by a contract, I can hop from farm to farm, hoping to get a better rate at the next farm.
Yeah, all of the above. So that is definitely one of the main challenges that farmers do have. It's due to the nature of the work itself. And so there is quite a large staff turnover. You do see that you have seasonal workers that's hopping to the different farms for different rates. As you know, that farmers do work on, some of the farmers do work on piece work. Some of the farmers use day wage. And this differs from farm to farm. But as you mentioned in the beginning, that some of the recruitment strategies that is used to be actually making use of the permanent staff on a farm to actually go out and recruit by themselves, friends and family and so on. The problem with that is it's just the fact of the lack of volumes that is being recruited and the lack of vetting that is being recruited. So the farmer in essence doesn't always have 100% knowing of who exactly is in the farm when he goes that specific route. So that in itself is quite a daunting challenge, yeah.
And as far as skill sets are concerned, is it low skills requirement during harvest season, or are the requirements that the workers, the seasonal workers, have a certain skill set that allows them to be hired during this particular season?
Oliver, that's a good question. During specifically harvest season, so obviously each and every farming activity does require a different type of workforce and the same as a different type of volumes of workforce. So the people that's being used is usually an unskilled worker. However, there is a specific a skill that is being learned during this activity.
Right, right. And are these skills transferable? And does having certain skill sets put you at a better position for a better wage negotiation?
It can definitely do so. I think what is quite important is when for argument's sake, the farmer makes use of our work, our staffing solution through the agricultural sector, is that because of we do have quite a footing in all the different industries. So this means from manufacturing all the way to call it hospitality. We do have the capacity to actually use those seasonal workers not only as a seasonal worker on one specific area or one specific farm, but then move it through to other projects and other industries. And thus, you have a continuous ongoing upskilling of those workers. And then these workers actually have then the potential to become more permanent and to actually have maybe a managerial role within certain farms.
Jean-Di, in certain communities, especially farming communities in the Northern Cape, as well as the Western Cape, for instance, especially where it is very remote areas, oftentimes young people drop out of school at a very young age, such as 15, 16, and they become farm workers themselves, or at least would like to become farm workers to try and provide for the family, because as William said, it's about poverty alleviation for the most part. Are farmers cognizant perhaps of the age restrictions as far as employability is concerned, or is there flexibility in the agricultural space to employ 16-year-olds, for instance, who want to plow and pack boxes and work tractors and stuff?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the agricultural sector doesn't have specific age restrictions outside of what is stated in the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, which currently lists the minimum age of a worker to be 15 years. So your 16-year-old, that's obviously a legal employable age. And I think the reality of child-headed households should also be kept in mind.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely imperative for some of these families to have their younger family members enter the job market as soon as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the massive conversation around land expropriation without compensation is a massive concern to farmers, farm workers and farm owners at the moment. Does that conversation come into play when thinking about staffing solutions and thinking about the relationship between farm workers and farm owners?
Absolutely. I think now more than ever, there's a lot of uncertainty in the agricultural industry as a whole, not only in terms of land appropriation, but also climate changes or uncertain crop yields. You know, large parts of the country are still crippled by widespread drought.
Yeah.
So I think all of those actions and all of those factors and, you know, all of those uncontrollable elements definitely contributes to farmers wanting more flexible staffing solutions to adapt to their current requirements.
Do these guys get a value for their rand when they opt to go the staffing solutions route instead of trying to administer these sorts of things themselves, William?
Yeah, Oliver, no, definitely, definitely. As I said earlier on, that because it's such a small window during the harvest season, so during the harvest season, this is where everything comes into play. This is where everything ties down. And this is where the farmer actually... call it, make his money. So everything must be efficient. So at the end of the day, we can save days, even weeks on specific processes when it comes to recruitment and all the compliance and all of this. And then just based on the fact of scalability, whereby if there's all of a sudden, let's call 100 or 500 people more needed for a specific farming activity, the farmer doesn't necessarily have the time or the resources to actually go out and source that. We can actually provide that on a drop of a pin. So we can definitely save time and money to the farmer.
That is really good news if you're a farmer right now and you're going through a drought and you're thinking about, you know, saving every rand that you possibly can. William, for those who would like to get more information, farm workers and farmers alike, how can they get in touch with you guys and how can they access more information with regards to this?
So Oliver, we're nationwide, so we do have, call it about 100 branches nationwide. In all your main areas within South Africa. So there is a branch near you where each worker can actually go and access the, to provide the information. On our website, on www.workforcestaffing.co.za, there is a tab with the agricultural sector. On that, you do have all of our information in that specific tab. My information is there as well, so please, contact me and we can organize a meeting.
Fantastic stuff. William Pinar, Jean D. Leone, thank you so much for your time. Really, really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Oliver.
Thank you.